Coming up on this episode of DL Weekly, the castle is under wraps, Mickey's Mixed Magic is coming this weekend.
It's time to get your ears on, ticket pricing breakdowns, and more. DL Weekly starts now.
Welcome to DL Weekly, a podcast about Walt's original Magic Kingdom, Disneyland. We cover the latest news and information from the resort, test our skills at trivia, and have a discussion about the parks every week. We invite you to send in your feedback and stories. Our contact information can be found at dlweekly.net. Now sit back, keep your hands and arms inside the podcast, and enjoy this week's show.
And welcome to this episode of DL Weekly for the week of January 16th, 2019. I'm Teresa Urban.
And I'm Tag Bushman. We'd like to send a shout out and a big thank you to all the supporters on Patreon. This support helps make DL Weekly possible. Our patrons get some pretty nice perks like access to our Discord chat, live show recordings, some DL Weekly swag, and more. If you'd like to learn more, head on over to dlweekly.net/support.
We have launched another way for you to join in the conversation with the community. You can head over to dlweekly.net/forum to be taken to our new forums. The forums are free and open to everyone to chat about Disney parks all around the world. So head on over and make a quick post about yourself in the introductions forum and join in on the discussion.
Well, did you know that you can rate and review DL Weekly on iTunes every 6 months? If you haven't reviewed us recently, please do so as it helps get our ranking better and allows the community to grow.
And remember, if you need some help planning your next trip to the parks, contact our friends over at Concierge. Mike and James work hard to make sure you and your family will have a magical time at the parks. Head on over to dlweekly.net to find a link to their website.
Now let's get to the news.
When you wish upon a star, make no difference who you are. Anything your heart desires. If your heart is in your dream, no request is too extreme. When you wish upon a star, as dreamers do.
Well, the walls are up, the moat has been drained, and it's time for work on the Sleeping Beauty Castle to begin. Imagineer Kim Irvine is the head of the castle refresh. Kim has a long history with the resort and began her career at Walt Disney Imagineering in 1970. The castle will be getting a fresh coat of paint and an updated color scheme, but don't worry, it will still hold true to the original pink and gray look. One noticeable update will be the brickwork colors. The updated look will have a gradient look to it, with darker gray at the base and a lighter gray towards the top.
I like this. I like when the things kind of change a little bit. I know for the 50th anniversary, they made a lot more gold accents and made the like pinks and stuff more vibrant. So I assume that they're kind of bringing a little bit of that back. Now, in researching this, you actually found out a lot about Kim Irvine that I'm sure you are dying to tell everybody about. So what did you find out about Kim Irvine?
Well, we'll keep it brief because I've decided she needs to be one of our discussion topics coming up soon. But some of you may think that you've heard that name before. Well, because you have on this show. We have talked about her before, but kind of in a little bit different light. She is actually the daughter of Leota Toombs, who is a very famous Disney Imagineer, but she's probably most recognized and best known for the fact that she is the face of Madame Leota in the Haunted Mansion ride. Well, her daughter, Kim, is actually the face of Madame Leota in Haunted Mansion Holiday.
Oh.
So they're famous for two reasons.
What a legacy.
Yes, two reasons. So, yeah, so I thought that was really cool and just kind of a neat little thing. I learned all sorts of other things. I kind of went down a little bit of a rabbit hole, if you will, learning about all of her cool history. So we definitely will be talking about her on a different show.
Well, what do you think about like the colors and stuff coming to the castle?
You know, it'll be interesting because it was one of those things that I read it and I'm like, well, that doesn't sound very different to me. So I had to pull up pictures of what the castle looks like. And it, right now, it's actually, it's more brown tones. I'm like, well, yeah, it's always been pink and gray. Mm-hmm. But right now, the brickwork, to me, looks more kind of like warm colors, more browns, more pinks in the brick. So it'll be interesting to see a little, I mean, it'll be very similar, but just a little bit different. I'm wondering if it'll maybe look a little sharper.
Maybe. Yeah, I'm excited. I liked it when they did it for the 50th. Mm-hmm. So I thought the painting and stuff that they did on the roof before, I mean, the Southern California sun is so harsh. You know, the colors just fade so quick. So if you see the new paint go up and it seems a little bright to you, just wait a little bit because it will fade.
The other thing, too, that I just wanted to add is after kind of researching, because I feel like the castle is a very important, very special thing. And everybody is probably nervous that it's something's changing on it because, you know, you don't want it to be. I don't know. You don't want something to happen and not look right. And it's like that forever now. Well, you know, the more I researched about Kim, who is in charge of this whole thing, the more I felt at ease that it's in good hands. So she, like I said, she's been an Imagineer since the 70s. She is her, like I said, she has a very famous Imagineer for a mother. So she is very, I think she's a very good person to have in charge of this.
Sounds like it. Well, Mickey's Mix Magic is set to debut later this week. The new nighttime spectacular is scheduled to make its first public appearance this Friday, January 18th at 9:30 p.m. As we've previously discussed, Mickey's Mix Magic will primarily be a projection show and will add fireworks to the mix on select nights. The show will use state-of-the-art projections, lighting, and lasers on Main Street, plus water screens on Rivers of America and the facade of It's a Small World to immerse guests into the party. I've also seen online this week that they've been doing testing because the park like closed a little bit, you know, like 9 o'clock, and they actually did not leave Main Street open for an additional hour for your shopping convenience one of the nights to do some testing. So, but they did it with the pyrotechnics, so that's good.
They
I guess
wanted, they wanted to check everything out, and I'm sure for opening weekend the fireworks will be present. I think from what I can gather, this does sound like it will be a nightly show. Versus how fireworks on the off, you know, a true firework show during the off season is only reserved for the weekends. So to me, it sounds like they're going to be doing projections during the week and then fireworks during the peak season, but then also on the weekend. So I'm sure they needed to make sure the fireworks were working correctly for this weekend.
I'm very happy that they're going to do something even in the off season, if you can even say there's an off season anymore each night, which is nice. However, I am sad that it is only a 10-minute show.
Yeah, that is kind of a bummer, but you've got so many other nighttime things going on.
I suppose.
So if you really, if you stacked it right and timed it right, you could almost hit up practically all of the shows.
Sure.
If you really, really worked hard at it, you might not be able to watch the full show for each one of them just because you have to run back and forth.
But sure.
It'd be interesting. Well, the music for Mickey's Mix Magic has been released by Disney and can be found on iTunes and Spotify. So the music, I wanted to like clarify before we got into the music that has been released is their kind of, I guess it's their theme song for it. It's called Good Time. But the lineup of, for the show includes Good Time, or It's a Good Time, I Want to Be Like You, Everybody Wants to Be a Cat, Friend Like Me, Grim Grinning Ghosts, Un Poco Loco, and Tag's favorite, Let It Go.
They should just let it go, I'm telling you. Did you listen to the It's a Good Time song?
I did. I don't know how I feel about it yet.
I feel like, so we've talked on the episode, actually the last couple episodes, I think we've talked about New Year's, and remember I said like New Year's, it's very party atmosphere?
Mm-hmm.
It kind of reminded me of the type of music that was playing when I was there for New Year's.
Well, that makes sense.
So I think that it might be more of kind of like a street party because it's a lot of projection stuff rather than like a regular fireworks show where you're just kind of looking at the fireworks.
Yeah, yeah, that's kind of how they've been advertising it, as kind of a street, an immersive street party, and Mickey is your DJ for the evening. So it makes sense that it's kind of more of a dancing beat to it.
Well, the Disney Parks blog gave us a sneak peek on some of the food and merchandise items that will be available for the Get Your Ears On a Mickey and Minnie Celebration. Be on the lookout for celebration t-shirts, cinch bags, baseball caps, pins, drinkware, plush, and even new Mickey and Minnie ears. The fun doesn't stop there. Pandora will feature a limited edition dangle charm with a 14-karat gold 90. New Mickey bags will be available from Tooney and Burke. The Disney Dress Shop will have a special Mickey Through the Years dress.
So what are you the most excited about? I'm sure everybody knows what I'm probably the most excited about.
Obviously. You're probably about the ears.
New ears. Because you love the ears. More ears. I am excited to see, though. I'm curious about the dress. Mickey through the ears, I feel, is kind of a very generic theme. So you could do it. I mean, there's so many different things you could do for a dress with Mickey through the ears. So I'm curious to see what the dress looks like, too.
I guess I'm also looking forward to the Mickey ears to see what they kind of come up with. We'll see. With Get Your Ears On as the, like, theme, I feel like there's going to be more ears than we even have now. And we have quite a few ears now.
Perfect.
I just hope that they don't get rid of the purple ears before we go.
I'm sure they won't. You know, actually, come to think of it, because the rose gold ones came out last year around this time, I think. But, you know, I'm just really excited. We were talking about this in the chat earlier this week. Specifically, it came up because of the new purple ears, the potion purple ears. And
all the other purple merchandise, which I'm so excited for.
There's just, they always come out with new mini ears, but Mickey, he doesn't get new ears as often as Miss Minnie does.
Or at least they don't talk about it if he does get ears.
Yeah, they're not as, I don't know, not widely talked about. I'm sure they're popular if they're, I just don't think they're coming out with as many ears as they do for Minnie, which is surprising because honestly, I feel like when I go to the park, when I see ears, it's a 50-50 mix, whether it's the Mickey style versus the Minnie style. And I've seen both styles on both genders and at all ages. So I don't think they're just marketing just to women or marketing just to men. I don't know, maybe the headband style sells better, so they go with a little bit more. But I'm glad to see that the Mickey ears are going to be getting some love really soon.
Yeah.
Well, a celebration at Disneyland would not be complete without food. Be on the lookout for some sweet treats, special celebration churros, Mickey beignets, and even Get Your Ears On funnel cake fries. If dessert isn't your thing, you can choose from the spectacular Mickey cheesy pizza topped with Mickey pepperoni, or the Share Your Ears cheeseburger, a cheeseburger topped with mini cheeseburger slider ears.
That's
so it's a cheeseburger with cheeseburgers. It's cute because they built it like a Mickey head.
Okay,
so the base large burger is like Mickey's head.
Yeah,
and then they have two small sliders on either side on top, like ears.
I guess
is the best way to describe it.
The funnel cake fries, I'm excited for because I've had funnel cake fries before, and I think that they are really good. I know producer James would be very excited to see that there is cheese pizza and cheeseburgers because that's like two of his favorite foods.
I'm kind of surprised that it seems to me that the selection, granted this is not the full menu of everything coming out, but it seems kind of, from what, compared to other things that they've been coming out with, this seems kind of safe. It seems kind of, you know, of course.
Not as Pixar Fest-like?
We've come to expect churros. Mickey beignets, I mean, we already have beignets, so Mickey beignets are going to just be slightly different. And there's funnel cake stuff now.
Okay, so
Frontierland.
I just pulled the picture of this up, because I'll be honest, I did not look at this before we started recording. When you said that it had two sliders as ears, I thought like looking down at the burger, not like pinned to the top of the burger.
Yeah. So they're resting on top. So
you know, this actually is a great thing. So for people that are budget conscious, you could buy that with two kids and you give the kids the little mini sliders and you eat the burger.
Yeah. I was thinking about that. The Share Your Ears cheeseburger is... it's a ton. That's a lot of food right there. Now, granted, I guess I don't know how big.
Maybe you're supposed to share your ears.
Oh, there you go. There you go. Double meaning. I like it. But anyways, yeah. So I'm curious to see what else they're coming out with because none of this is too terribly exciting for me personally. Mm-hmm. It's just kind of a lot of, you know, it's the same thing redesigned. But yeah. So we'll have to see what else comes out. It looks. Don't get me wrong. It all looks delicious, but it's not something that you could only get in Disneyland.
I like the play with the pepperoni and stuff on the pizza, too. Yeah, I'm excited. They're getting creative with it. And it looks like the churro fries also have, like, Oreos on them. And I love Oreos, so if they're still... Well, yeah, 90th. It'll still be there when we're there, probably. I'll have to get some of those. Well, there's nowhere to go but up. Go check out the new Practically Perfect photo wall at the Hollywood Backlot in California Adventure. The Mary Poppins-themed wall will make you feel like you're soaring through the London sky. Grab a hold of the kite string and strike your best pose. So this was something I saw just Disneyland Today posted this on their Twitter account, and I was like, another one? So this Hollywood Pictures, they've just really gone into the whole Instagram walls, it seems mm-hmm. like. But this one looks really nice. It's a lot more detailed. It looks more, with the lettering and stuff for Mary Poppins Returns, it looks almost like a poster, like you'd see like in a movie theater or something, than just a painted wall. So I think it looks pretty good.
Well, the single rider line at Star Tours that we mentioned in last week's episode has been done away with, as it was for testing only. No word yet on if this will come back or not, but rumors say that it wasn't very successful.
Well, I can't imagine having the entrance be at the exit of the attraction would make it very successful. And it's not like it was really advertised very much. So I think it was executed poorly, which made it not very successful. So we'll see.
Well, for me overall, we had talked about this last week too, is just think of any time that you've been on Star Tours. How many empty seats have there been in your flight cabin? They do a really good job. The cast members do a really, really great job of getting, you know, asking how many people are in your party and kind of filtering you through so that they do maximize each simulation ride, mm-hmm. I guess. So, yeah, I just couldn't see that there'd be too many empty seats that they would need to have a single rider line for. But
well,
doesn't hurt to test it.
Yeah, I guess we'll see if they decide to come back to it. Well, now we take a trip to Trivia Land, where producer James tries to stump us with Disney trivia. He'll read us the question, we'll attempt to answer them, and James will give us the correct answers at the end of the show. What do you have for us this week, James?
Well, we're going to start with a little trip to Disney history. Is a question submitted by Daniel.
Daniel, again.
Again.
He is a wealth.
He gave me quite the list when he was on jury duty, so.
That's right. I forgot about that.
So this one is, in which city did Walt Disney originally intend to build Disneyland?
Oh.
Is it Burbank?
Burbank, yeah.
Because I was going to say it was supposed to be across from the studios.
I was going further ahead in time from that. I was thinking, because technically when he was going to build in the lot across the way, it was Mickey Mouse Park, not Disneyland.
Oh, Jimmy.
So my brain kind of got thinking past that, because in one of the books I read, they went on and on about like looking for the perfect location, et cetera, et cetera. So
this is trivia. We don't do technicalities.
No, I was just curious. Okay.
All right. Question two. In which attraction can you look at personalized license plates to pass the time while you're in line?
Roger Rabbit's Cartoon Spin.
Ooh.
And I think Radiator Springs Racers,
yeah,
actually.
Yeah, I was going to go with Radiator Springs Racers, and then you said Cartoon Spin. That's right.
Because there are a bunch of like funny, punny ones on the wall in the queue.
Well, and I was thinking then of Luigi's queue, too, because there's all sorts of cars. But it's not license plate themed, but it's all sorts of funny cars themed things in their queue, too.
Like oil and stuff, mm-hmm. like with funny names, yeah.
Yep.
That's like all of Cars Land.
So
I'm going with Roger Rabbit. Do you want to split the difference?
I'm going to go. I think the answer to it is Roger Rabbit spins, but I feel like there are some hidden ones over in Radiator Springs as well.
We shall see.
I think the real answer is Roger Rabbit, because that one has a lot.
Yeah.
All right, question number three comes from Laura.
Oh, Laura.
There's a unique symbol on the partner statue. What is it, and where is it located?
It's on his tie clip.
Oh, yes.
But I don't remember what it was.
His initials.
Yeah. I think it's his father's initials.
I think so, too. Or is it his mother's?
I'm going to say it was his father's. Do you want to go mother?
I'm going to say his mother's.
Okay, so we're split on the trivia this week.
All right, I know how much you love my give me a number question. So, gave you one of those. So to help maintain the Haunted Mansion's average of about 2,200 guests per hour, how many Doom Buggies do they have in the attraction?
I feel like you should know this, Teresa.
I don't.
And I'll give you like a 15-ish range to get within. And that's very generous.
I'll say...
I'm going to say 75.
140.
Now, is this when, like in the attraction, not just like this many exist in the park?
Yes, okay. This many in the attraction.
All right, well, please stay tuned for the correct answers from James at the end of the show. So this week for the discussion topic, we're going to talk about the ticket price increases and talk about park hopper tickets versus one park per day tickets.
Let's be real. We're going to talk about all sorts of different aspects of ticket prices, just kind of in general.
Well, and what spurred this was it Doug? Doug in the chat?
Doug in our chat. He was talking about, which I thought was a really great question, basically, with the ticket increases, are you more apt to buy a park hopper ticket or save a little bit of money and do the one park per day ticket? Which this really got me to thinking, and it really made me, I always just instinctively buy a park hopper ticket.
Yep.
But the more we were discussing this and the more I thought about it, the more I realized I don't hop back and forth that often between the parks. So
when you go to DCA, you stay in DCA the whole day?
This last time I did. So we discussed, like I said, we were talking about earlier, was a lot of people were saying, oh, you know, California Adventure, I can't justify being in Disney California Adventure for the entire day. Mm-hmm. I think a couple different things for me come into play with this. There are more, and I was on that boat too, for sure, was definitely only need to be in California Adventure for half to three quarters of the day. However, now with, you have a lot of big, they're getting more big attractions over there, more mm-hmm. kind of the e-ticket style attractions.
Yeah.
So you do have either longer waits if you're sitting there for Radiator Springs Racers, that's always a long wait. Or if you're doing the Guardians of the Galaxy Mission Breakout, that's a pretty long queue. So you're spending a lot of time waiting in lines to get onto these big attractions. They're really fun attractions that you could do multiple times. But the cool thing, I think, about California Adventure is there's a lot of things that are kind of off the beaten path that I think people skip over. And I was totally one of those people. The big one is the Animation Academy. You could spend hours in there if you mm-hmm. had the time. But yeah, so anyway, so last time we went, Vern and I got 4-day park hopper tickets. Day one, spent all day in Disneyland because that's what you do.
Yep.
Day number two was our California Adventure day. And we did spend the entire day in California Adventure. We did, after Paint the Night, when the park closed, we did hop back over to Disneyland because Disneyland was open a couple hours later.
Yep.
So we're trying to maximize
that's pretty
day.
Typical.
So did we have to do that? No, we could have gone without hopping back over. We did spend the full operating day in California Adventure. The third day was all Disneyland, and then the fourth and final day we did half and half. So half of the day we were in California Adventure, the other half, and the final half of our trip we were in Disneyland.
See, the only time that I ever stayed a good chunk of the day in California Adventure was, I was there for the 50th anniversary. We were there on May 4th, which was the day before the 50th anniversary, and they closed Disneyland for the day.
Oh,
so California
sure.
Adventure was the only thing open.
Sure.
And we got halfway through the day, and we're bored. But this is before, and I said this in the chat too, this is before Cars Land. This is before they redid a bunch of stuff with Pixar Pier. This is before Mission Breakout, although it was still Tower of Terror then. It was still pretty new. This was before Ariel's Undersea Adventure.
Oh, wow.
So,
yeah.
So there was a bunch of stuff that wasn't there that is there now.
Mm-hmm.
However, I still feel like when I go to California Adventure, I don't know if I would be happy being limited to that one park for an entire day. And if I was, I think what I would do is I would do kind of like what you guys did, and I would do California Adventure one day. I'd hit everything I want to hit multiple times, and then whatever was left on my ticket, so if I had a 3-day or a 4-day ticket, I would spend the other days in Disneyland and not even think about going back to California Adventure.
Yeah, see, and that was kind of our thought process, and we were there at not a super busy time, but the thing that's interesting about California Adventure is to me, it feels like the e-ticket attraction, the big attractions over there, the waits are astronomical mm-hmm. for them.
Are you not using MaxPass, though?
We did have MaxPass, but you can't have multiple fast passes at the same time.
Right.
For some reason, Soarin' seems to always have a very long wait.
Well, it's...
And it's a... I don't know if it is actually in time a very long wait, or if it just feels like a very long wait because the queue is...
It's very long because the queue doesn't move.
Yeah.
Because you've only got the two auditoriums.
Mm-hmm.
Once you fill up the auditorium, then you have to go through the 4-minute attraction before the line will move again.
Right.
And they do kind of split you, but once you get that split, then you're just waiting for 4 minutes,
There's some theming, but not tons of theming.
Yeah, it gives you time to read the historical mm-hmm. stuff that they have in there. But yeah,
Vern really enjoyed.
Yeah, there's not a lot. I mean, but once you've read it once.
Yeah. So we lucked out. We walked in and there was no wait for Soarin'. So we quickly rushed over and did Soarin'. It was also a cooler time of year. This was not really early, not late spring, early summer-ish, but it was cool. People were not doing the water ride, sure. So we got on
Grizzly River,
the
Run.
River Run. I think we did it back-to-back even because nobody was
Well, it's
on
right
it.
There, yeah. So once
it's
you
right
got
there
out.
And we just kind of popped on and off of it.
Especially if it was this in the morning.
Yes.
Because it's going to be cooler in the morning too, yeah.
Yep. So we quick did that. And then, because the first thing I did was, that was the one day that we utilized Max Pass was when we were in California Adventure, because I knew I didn't want to spend as much time in that park. So I figured best bang for my buck for the Max yeah. Pass would be there. So got the Max Pass got the Max Pass added to our tickets, got a Max Pass for Radiator Springs Racers, because for me, that's my number one.
Yeah.
One to get a fast pass for, because again, the standby for that is just always so incredibly long.
The standby queue is nice, though.
It is a nice queue, but it's just I don't want to spend that much, you know, that's yeah. a lot of time.
Yeah,
so always get a fast pass for that. And then we got a fast pass later in the day for Mission Breakout. I think the other fast pass we got was for Goofy's Sky School, perhaps. It's kind of a random one,
sure,
but yeah, so anyways, so we tried to like plan our day out, and even so, we didn't get to do most of the attractions multiple times just because of standby queue wait times. Yeah. We also did choose to do the Animation Academy, which again, I highly, highly recommend. That was really, really fun.
It's really underrated.
And it's kind of a hit. It's really a hidden gem. Mm-hmm. And then the other thing that I think that Tag may not agree with, but taking the time to go over and watch the live Frozen show was really worthwhile. It's really well done. I know it's not, for me, I don't like it as much as I enjoyed Aladdin, but the props, the different special effects that they do, it's very well done. It's a Broadway caliber show. So it's included with your admission.
Yeah.
So I think the California Adventure Park can take a full day depending on how you do it.
Sure.
If you just rush in, do your favorite attractions and rush out, then yeah, you don't need
the full
day.
Well, how do you feel about, you kind of touched on this a little bit, how do you feel about California Adventure closing, let's say at 10, and let's say Disneyland's open until either 11 or midnight, and then knowing that, like, oh, I could have 2 more hours over there, but I don't have a park hopper?
Depends. It depends. Because the other thing, too, that I kind of learned this last trip is I explored Downtown Disney, because we went early in the morning thinking that we had the Magic Morning or
yeah.
whatever it's called. I always get confused as to which one's which. And we were wrong. We didn't. So it forced us to spend time in Downtown Disney, which... Mm-hmm. I usually just fly right past it, have never even taken the time to walk up and down that
I'm still surprised
area.
That, like, because you stay at the hotels on the other side, on Harbor, that you've never, like, you never really had spent any time past the turnstiles.
Yeah, no, I just would walk, yep, I just would walk
it
right
up. It boggles my mind you've never ridden
right
the tram.
Security and ugh. Go right into the parks. Yeah, no, I did not spend any time in the, I guess, the resort area.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
So that was really fun. So to
did
me...
Did you spend time hanging around... Did you go around the hotels?
No.
Because those are pretty cool, too, actually. In fact, when James and I were there, I think we did that, didn't we, James? Didn't we go walk around the Disneyland Hotel for a little bit?
We sure did.
Yeah. And so, we saw some cool stuff there that we weren't necessarily expecting.
See, so I'm such a Disney nerd that I don't have to necessarily... be in the park. So if I had a one park per day ticket and I chose California Adventure for that day, I could easily find time to do other things in the resort
sure.
area that are still Disney themed but just aren't in the actual park.
Sure.
So but it depends on how long I'm going for too.
I think that I would never not get a park hopper only because I don't like being limited by stuff. So like I like to be able to be like, oh, I want to go watch World of Color right now, whenever it's back up. And then when that's done, oh, I want to go back over to Disneyland and ride whatever. You know, I like the option to be able to hop from thing to thing, or if like I'm in the mood to, or if I see on the app, like, oh, Mission Breakout has like a 15-minute wait. We should go over there. It's been a long wait all day. You know what I mean? Instead of like, oh, I can't get in there now. Darn, I wish we were able to, kind of a thing. But that's just me. That's been my personality forever. I don't like being limited by that type of stuff. What do you think, James? Park hopper versus one day.
I like
day.
How he's like, what?
Well, it's. I think you're more average than me or Teresa are.
Well, that's incredibly true. I am definitely not the Disneyland addict that the two of you are. I think it's a tough draw because I think a lot of people, especially those who are a little bit more on the fanatical side, will share your opinion that there's no way they could spend just one day in DCA and feel good about it. But I think when you're talking about a family on a budget or someone who is getting into the price range, that a Disney vacation is somewhat a little bit more of a struggle. If you can do that one day, one park pass, you can supplement it, like you're saying, with going to the hotels or spending some time at Downtown Disney. I think there's ways around it that you can easily make it work if that's the financial incentive. And then, you know, you are saving the time. Granted, it's not like Disney World where you're taking 20 minutes to go between parks.
Yeah.
You know, it's just a quick jaunt across the Esplanade. But that's, you know, 15, 20 minutes maybe that you're spending getting out of the park and into the next park that you could be spending in queue for another attraction or watching another show or finding more food.
Yeah. And I think Teresa, both of you brought up, I think, a good point that I don't think about a lot is if you were to have a day in California Adventure and you were actually spend the time to see all of the entertainment offerings. So if you were to watch the Newsboys or whatever that are on Buena Vista Street.
Yeah, they're fun.
And if you were to go to the Animation Academy.
We took the time and we actually rode the trolley instead of just, you know, seeing it go past. We sat and listened to the Pixaramic Orchestra, which I've talked about and how much I enjoyed them. Mm-hmm. And like I said, this was before Pixar Pier was open. So there's even more to do now that Pixar Pier is open.
Right. Yeah, so I think doing all that type of stuff, going and seeing the Frozen show, and just kind of taking in the entertainment that's not necessarily like an attraction. I know that there are certain listeners and supporters in the chat who Disneyland is all about the attractions for them.
Yeah, which is, that's fine. Everyone does the park.
I think those folks, like James was saying, those folks, I think, will have a tougher time staying in California Adventure specifically. Yeah. Where Disneyland, I think, you could easily... I mean, for so long, it was the only park. So I think it's easier when you've experienced it that way, you know, and there's so many more attractions and stuff there and things to see that because it was the only park for so long.
So it'll be interesting we're completely off our discussion topic.
Yeah.
Anyways, it'll be interesting with how they're going to be growing Disney California Adventure. I'm wondering if people's opinions will be changing.
Yeah. Well, I think I think it's just like anything. Epcot took a while to kind of grow in Disney World.
That's true.
And I think that anytime you add another park to an existing park, that obviously one park's been there longer, so it's going to have more offerings. Mm-hmm. And it's going to take time to get a fan base and get people that like things and to work out what kind of the theming and stuff is and build more stuff. Because you're not going to spend tons of money up front to build, you know, 70 attractions or whatever.
Right.
So.
Well, and so, okay, so we're going to back up a little bit. So the whole reason we started discussing whether or not it'd be worth it to be in Disney California Adventure for a full day is because if you look at the ticket prices now, and there was always a difference before too, but with ticket prices now, the difference between a park hopper pass and a one day one park pass is, if it's a one day ticket overall, so you're only going to be in the resort area for one day, it's a $50 difference to either stick to one park or to have the ability to flip back and forth between the two parks. Now, if you opt for a 2 to 5 day pass, it's still an additional $55 to add the ability to park.
But that's overall.
Overall, yes. So, for instance, a four day park hopper pass is $380. But if you opt to do the one park per day version, it's $325. So for a family of four, that's over $100 difference, right?
Yeah.
It's $120 difference. So is it worth it to you to have that ability to bounce back and forth? And like I was saying before, it kind of made me self-reflect a little bit to see. I always just opt and I always buy the park hopper pass instinctively. I guess I don't know why, because like Tag, I like to have the thought and know that I can bounce back and forth if I choose to. But then when I looked at the reality of it, I don't really bounce back and forth that often. So really, there was one day that I feel like I actually utilized the park hopper, and that was the last day. Now, was it worth an extra $50 to me to bounce back and forth one day out of the four? Maybe yes, maybe no. I mean, it's different for everybody.
Yeah. Yeah, that's interesting. I mean, every time I go, I always do the 5 day. If I don't have an annual pass, I have to do a 5 day because I want my Disney fix as long as humanly possible. And unfortunately, for the domestic purchasers of tickets. You can only buy up to a 5-day ticket. Although we did get some feedback last week that we had on the feedback show that'll be dropping later this week, that somebody was from Australia and they were able to get a 10-day.
Well, and they could have done two of the 5 days back to back.
I think though that overseas they actually offer longer ticket amounts.
Okay.
Yeah, because I think like. So Lee in our chat, I think he has the ability to get longer tickets, but I think that makes more sense because it's so much more expensive just to get there.
Oh yeah, for sure. So your typical visit when you're there for 5 days, what do your days 1 through 5 look like?
Oh, that's a good question. So usually first day is Disneyland. It's the park, right? Mm-hmm. You know, it's the resort is named after it and everything. So Disneyland. And usually I think what happens is I kind of go in there and I get my fix. I do like my quick run around to see kind of how everything is, go on a couple things. You know, I hit up Indy. Maybe I'll hit up the Tiki Room if there's a short line as we're walking by it, that kind of thing. I kind of make my way once around, and if there's short lines for things, I hop in and I go on the different things. And I kind of get my bearings and I go around the whole park, you know, maybe get to lunchtime, a little after lunch, whatever, get some food, decide, you know, look at a park map during lunch and figure out, you know, what we want to do. Now look at the app and figure out, okay, is there a show starting we want to see? Like when James and I went, Pirates was only going to be there the 1 day. So we hit Pirates a bunch of times because it was going on refurb the second day we were there. So we wanted to make sure that we got on that a couple times. And so we did that. And same thing with Fantasmic was that night too, I think, wasn't it? So we went to the Blue Bayou because it was only playing 1 day while we were there.
So, but do you...
Yeah, because that's why we did the dining package, because it was only going to be playing the one night.
Well, yeah. Because then we picked up the Fast Pass to see it again the second time, but we didn't end up using it.
Yeah.
So do you typically spend your whole first day in Disneyland?
Well, that's what I was getting to. So when I look at the map and we try to figure out what's going on, if we've hit up what we can and maybe... And usually when we've gone, California Adventure has been slower than Disneyland. So usually we'll hit all the classics that I want to hit and then we'll go over to California Adventure and hit up like the big attractions over there. And then we usually end the night in Disneyland. And I think that's kind of how each day goes. I don't think we... Did we ever start the day in California Adventure?
No, we always did rope drop at Disneyland.
Yeah. So
you spend... So of your 5 days, you spend... Each day, doing the walking back and forth?
Yeah.
Yep.
Oh, I am way more time savvy than that.
but see, I don't feel like... I guess the way that I deal with it when I'm there is I look at like what we want to do, and we look at like how long a wait is for something. So I don't look at a park... Because we have the Park Hopper, I don't look at them as two separate parks. I kind of look at them as the resort as a whole, and I go, okay, oh, look... we can go over and catch the, you know, at the time, Aladdin, A Musical Spectacular, and then we can grab this Fast Pass for Guardians of the Galaxy right afterwards. Why don't we do that? Because the time happens to work for that. That's a good use of our time, and we kind of combine those things together with, you know, because I like watching shows as well. So I'll try to plan the parades, the fireworks, the spectaculars with attractions that we can get fast passes for around that time and planning kind of our meal. That's kind of how it worked, wasn't it?
Yeah, that sounds about right. And then we had our map that you were marking off attractions to make sure that we didn't miss anything as well.
Yeah. And then like at the end of the night, we get back to the hotel and we'd like mark off what we've done. And then the first day, usually at the end of the first day, we'll go through and decide between the two of us, okay, what are must-do attractions that we need to do multiple times or do at least once? What are the things that if we don't get on aren't the end of the world? And what are the, you know, if we have time, I guess we'll do it.
And we also use that for planning food as well, of the places that we were sure wanted to eat at.
Yeah. So just kind of getting an idea and kind of planning out. So the first day, everything's off because I'm way too excited to have, like, a major plan. So I just go in and start hitting things. And then, like I said, usually, what, like around lunchtime or something, that's when we start to try to formulate a plan, and it's a little less excitement everywhere?
No. No.
What was it then?
There was no plan the first day. It was Tag's wonder and joy of seeing the park that he loves.
You're in for one, Shrug. Teresa.
Yeah, good luck.
I'm just listening and taking this all in and thinking about how you were making fun of me for using the app and looking at the wait times, and you thought it was ridiculous that I was going back and forth in Disneyland.
Well, I thought it was ridiculous.
And you're telling me you're running from California Adventure back to Disneyland again.
But I don't go back and forth like what you're saying. What happens is, like, we go, okay, these three or four things we're going to put together when we go over there. So instead of, like, being in Disneyland and go, oh, Space Mountain's got a short wait right now. Oh, Indiana Jones has a short wait after that. And instead of spending the time going back and forth in the park, we try to, like, cluster things, I guess, together. Where we go, okay, Aladdin's going to be at this time. Then we can do Tower of Terror. And then we can grab lunch at Award Wieners. And then we can go do, you know, whatever the next thing is.
It essentially works as a guide of where we're going to go next in the park. So, you know, if we are just off the Matterhorn and we see Indiana Jones as a really short line, we'll kind of plan out where we're going to go through and what are a couple of things we could hit on the way in hopes that we'll still hit there when there's short queue time still.
Yeah, or we'll get a fast, like at Disney World, we got fast passes.
Oh, yeah.
And so we were able to go, okay, we have to be at Haunted Mansion in an hour. We're in Tomorrowland right now. What can we do between here and there to eat up that hour to make our way over there instead of like back forth? But
I did not expect this discussion to become educating Teresa on what to expect in August.
Yeah. Well, it'll be interesting.
Behind.
It'll be interesting how this all works. So now for
James is going to come with me because I always have a plan.
Yeah, but
James is going to be bouncing around.
That's
everywhere.
All right. I actually have a dream one day that I will go to Disneyland, and I don't mean this in a disparaging way, but I want to go to Disneyland alone because it'll just be like so easy to like go things. Not that you're hard to travel with at all.
He's like,
you don't have
really?
To convince me. It's fine. I know.
Yeah.
All I do is follow you around, and you don't even think that's too much work.
That's one person he could lose as he darts through the crowd.
Yeah. Yeah, losing people. Well, we'll see how it goes. I've only traveled with a group of people that all like had different ideas once, and that was challenging because we all wanted to stay together, but everybody wanted to do different things, and it got frustrating because nobody could like either everybody was like, I want to do something different and we can never come to a consensus, or everybody was of the same opinion of I don't care and we couldn't come to a consensus. So both of those things were really obnoxious because it's like, can we just make a decision and go there?
Go back to talking about ticket prices.
Yes.
Now.
So for those of you who are maybe thinking like Teresa and I've kind of been discussing peripherally here about annual passes and at what point does an annual pass become a good value for you? So we didn't include any of the 1 day, one park, 2 day, one park. We didn't include any of the non-park hopper tickets in these calculations because it just doesn't make sense because that's comparing apples to oranges.
Yeah,
the park,
because all annual passes are essentially park hopper tickets. You don't buy an annual pass and you're only allowed in Disneyland or you're only allowed in California Adventure. The annual pass is good for both parks.
Yeah. And the way we calculated the prices is we split out. So for instance, I'll just talk about the 5 day real quick. So the cost of a 5 day park hopper is $395 for an adult, which works out to $79 a day. So the way we worked it out is if you were to translate that to an annual pass, how many days would you have to go to make it cheaper than that, basically. So up to $79 per day kind of a thing. So there's a Southern California Select Pass, but that one's not really available to a lot of people, so I don't think we're really going to talk about that. So the Southern California Annual Pass is $599, and to make it the same value as a five-day park hopper, you would have to go 8 days, mm-hmm. which would make it $75 a day. So if you plan in a year to go 8 days, you should get the Southern California Pass.
Now, if you're like Tag and myself who do not live in California, so you're not eligible to get the Southern California Pass, the next option would be the Deluxe Pass, which it's $799. Now, we will mention that all of the two passes we've talked about thus far do not have Max Pass included. So if you wanted to add Max Pass, it would be an additional charge.
Yes.
So the Deluxe Pass would break even if you went 11 days.
Yep, so that costs about $72 a day at the 11th day, and of course it gets cheaper as it goes on. Now, if you add MaxPass to that, you would break even at the 7th day, But because you have to go at least the 11 days, you'd be paying $9, a little over $9 mm-hmm. a day for MaxPass. So it's a good, it's almost back to the price that it was before this recent yes. increase.
Yep, yep. Now, if you are looking at doing the Signature Plus Pass, which has a few less blackout dates than the Deluxe Pass does, you would have to go 15 days before you broke even, and that would equate you down to $76 roughly per day. But on the plus side, your Max Pass, if you decided to add that on for the additional $100, would only equate to $6.60 per day. So that's
yeah.
That's even better than when it was before. It was really fun watching how, if you added MaxPass, how much it dwindled per trip. So really, if you're going to be getting an annual pass, adding MaxPass on, if that's even kind of a hint of maybe I should or shouldn't do it, if you have the extra $100, I would do it.
By the time you get to the seventh day, it pays for itself.
By the time that your pass has paid for itself, MaxPass already has. So yeah. It's a good value.
I think so, too. And then if you pick the Signature Plus Pass, which has no blackout dates, includes Max Pass.
And includes parking, doesn't it?
And parking and some different discounts. It starts at $1,399. And this one, if you were to equate it to the same thing as a five-day pass, you would have to go 18 days to make mm-hmm. it worth it. So you'd be paying about almost $78 per day if you went 18 days with that. And if you were totally crazy...
And the ultimate.
And it's on my bucket list to get a Premier Pass, which gives you unlimited access to all the Disney World parks and the Disneyland parks. That's $1,949, and you'd have to go 25 days to make it worth it.
Let's clarify. This is only good for the U.S. parks.
Yes.
So Disney World in Florida and Disneyland in California. You have access to all of those parks.
And that also includes Max Pass and parking, and you get dining discounts and all that
stuff. You know, it'd be interesting if they ever do decide to offer some sort of like ultimate diamond deluxe edition pass that would be good for, any Disney park. That would be really, really hard to justify buying that one.
Well, yeah, because then you got to get everywhere.
And only maybe five would be sold, period. But
wouldn't that be amazing? I feel like we'd have to pick a year that we would plan for.
I feel like you'd have to take the whole year off.
Well, depends on how long you want to stay at each park. But yeah,
as long as I can.
Well, yeah. So if you were to do that, you'd have to really plan hard, take a lot of time off, and then try to get some really good like airfare rates to get everywhere. But the Premier Pass is on my bucket list. I hope to eventually one day. I don't think it'll be something I do more than once. I think I'll do it like one time.
Maybe when you retire and you're able to go at least 25 days.
Well, when I retire, I'll probably work at the parks. We'll find out. But so the consensus I think that Teresa and I have come to when it comes to annual passes is get the Max Pass, because any pass that you're going to be able to purchase, it'll pay for itself by the time you use it, the amount of days you need to use it.
Yeah, the only pass that it wouldn't pay for itself on would be is that if you got that Southern California Select Pass. The Southern California Select Pass pays for itself on day 6, whereas Max Pass pays for itself on day 7. So if you get that Select Pass, just go the one extra day and then you're good.
yeah.
Or if you are only going 6 days, then just buy Max Pass individually each day.
Sure. Well, when I'm looking at these prices, and actually, like, it's a pretty good deal once you get, most of these are actually a fairly good deal once you get to, 7 or 8 days or whatever.
That is if you're going to be able to afford to go to the park that frequently. Because even though it's a really good deal to be able to go 11, 12 days maybe for... If you purchase the Deluxe Pass, you'd reach your break-even point if you do 11 days. Well, it depends on if you do one really, really long visit. That's also 11 days in a hotel. So even though it's a good value to get yourself in the door, mm-hmm. you still have all those other costs associated with it, too.
Well, for us, right, like, I always go for 5 days. So for the Deluxe Pass, if I went... basically 2 5-day periods, I would get to that 10-day mark, which is 90 cents more per day than the 5-day park hopper would be or whatever, because mm-hmm. it's very much on the cusp there. So I feel like it'd be worth it. Plus, when you're thinking about these things and you're thinking about the annual passes and the costs, you also have to take into account, we didn't do this because it would be impossible, but you got to take into account too the discounts you get on food and merchandise in the parks.
Well, and that varies per person because mm-hmm. you might have someone that eats and eats and eats and someone that only eats one meal a day
yep.
versus someone that buys one small merchandise item and someone else that walks out with the whole store. So depends on you and
it would
your
be
spending
a,
habits.
It would be a great deal for me because I buy a lot of food at the park because I refuse to like eat outside the park while we're there for the most part, except for like breakfast if the hotel offers something good. And I'm also the person that I'm like, I become the want machine that I am. And oh. I'm like, that looks cool. That looks cool. And I just want to buy a bunch of stuff. Although the last couple times I've been pretty good. I've only bought like some pins and stuff and maybe a couple shirts.
I'm yep. far too distracted with the park itself to be bothered with stopping to eat or to be bothered with looking at the merchandise. And well, then I think about having to carry the merchandise around with me, which I know they do have services that I can go pick it up at the front, but
you don't stay that extra hour at the end of the night that Main Street is open?
I do, but it's really weird. I do stay that extra hour and I do wander through the stores, but I love browsing the shops just to kind of take in everything that's there and then kind of I apparently my parents raised me right because we've been talking about these parents and how they parent in the park and how they
yeah.
make their child like think about it. They don't let them be impulsive. That's what I do.
Mm.
It's the last I don't it, until it's the last day is when I actually buy my merchandise.
Well, for those of you who are going to be there in August and may see us in a store, you will see me with a bunch of bags and you will see Teresa shaking her head disapprovingly.
Yep.
With, but
if you
with
see
producer
us on
James,
the last day. I will have the bags.
Sounds right.
Well,
but also, I don't want to have to remember to pick it up at the front. I know that's it's a very nice service that they offer, but I have like Disney ADD, so I will probably forget to pick it up at the front. So that's just not a good thing for me to do. I'm sure I wouldn't. I'd be that person that would leave. They'd be kicking everybody out of the parking lot and come back and be like, "Wait, but my I have merchandise."
They'd hold it. You could pick it up the next day.
No, I know. But, I can't have extra distractions because I'm already distracted enough, if that makes sense.
Makes sense to me.
I'm more about enjoying what I'm doing than making sure I have
sure.
stuff.
Well, what do you guys think? What are your plans for visiting the park? What's your philosophy versus park hopper versus not park hopper versus annual pass? Do you think things are a good deal or not a good deal? What? How do you, when you're planning your vacation, how do you figure out what type of ticket to get, especially now going forward with the price increases? So let us know. You can contact us on any of our contact information on our website at dlweekly.net, or you can have a conversation with each other and us about it on the forums as well. Or if you're in the chat, you can talk about it in there as well.
It is interesting because the more we kind of researched it and the more I really self-reflected, I see pros and cons to each any way you do it. I don't see there's not a wrong way, obviously,
mm-hmm.
Because everybody does things differently. But I see the argument of why you would do one park per day versus a hopper pass, because it is a pretty decent savings, especially mm-hmm. when you're looking at purchasing multiple tickets for a family. And if you're like me and you kind of realize, well, wait a minute, I don't really hop back and forth between the parks, why am I paying extra to hop back and forth? That might be a thing too.
Well, maybe
I'm like Tag, even though I don't utilize it as much as he does, I like being able to have the option to do so. Now, whether or not I choose to is that's a whole nother thing.
I was going to say, do we need to have a challenge where when we go to D23 in August that you have to get the one park per day and I'll get the hopper and we'll see how it works?
No, we'd have to do it the other way around. Because I already could do one park per day. You're the one that hops. So the challenge would be you having to do one park per day.
Well,
and
I wouldn't.
Me having to hop
back and forth. I wouldn't.
Because I don't think, I can't justify the time to hop back and forth every single day.
It doesn't take that long.
It does. I could be riding an attraction in the time that it's taking you to walk back and forth.
We could go on all night. Well, did you enjoy listening to this episode of DL Weekly? You could support the show for as little as 25 cents an episode. If you want access to the supporter chat we always talk about, it's only 75 cents an episode. Please consider joining supporters like Brandon H. and head on over to dlweekly.net/support.
Well, now it's time to return to James in Trivia Land to get the answers to this week's trivia.
All right. Our first question from Daniel is, in which city did Walt Disney originally intend to build Disneyland?
Burbank,
California. I think we settled on Burbank.
And that's the answer Daniel gave me as well.
Woo-hoo!
On the board early. Question number two. In what attraction can you look at personalized license plates to pass the time while you are in line?
I said Roger Rabbit Cartoon Spin.
And I agreed with a bonus round of saying Radiator Springs also has...
So you made me think, and you made me pull up a YouTube while you two were in your discussion, because I wasn't confident if Radiator Springs Racers had it or not. The answer I was going for was Roger Rabbit's Toon Spin, because obviously there's a lot of fun ones up there.
Yep.
So Radiator Springs has a handful of license plates in one of the sheds. I'm not sure if they're personalized or not, so I'm not going to give you bonus points for that one, but there are license plates there.
But you went with Cartoon Spin, so you get the point.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And so, and as you know, those aren't real license plates.
Yeah.
So. They're not?
They're
in Toontown, they're real, James.
Sorry.
Don't break somebody's heart.
I'm ruining this. All right, third question, which came from Laura, who said, there's a unique symbol on the partner statue.
Oh, yeah, this is a good one.
What is it and where is it located?
It's on his tie clip, and I thought it was his father's initials.
Yep, and I went with mother's initials. We split the difference. Watch, it's nobody's initials.
It's nobody's initials.
Oh. But is it on his tie clip?
It's Laura said it's on his tie, so I'll give you tie clip for sure. Laura says it's the symbol is the brand for Smoke Tree Ranch, an area in Palm Springs where the Disney family had a vacation home.
That sounds familiar now, yep.
Sounds vaguely familiar.
Yeah, so good question, Laura. Half point
was,
for
yes,
both of
was.
You. And the last one, your numbers question.
Oh, boy.
Helping the Haunted Mansion maintain an average of about 2,200 guests per hour, how many Doom Buggies are running inside it?
I said 75. And you said what, 140?
140.
And it's a point for Tag.
Wow.
There's 131-ish Doom Buggies in there. I don't know how recent the article was that I pulled this number from.
So we're gonna get rid of the half point because it was on his tie. It is not the tie clip. I just pulled up a picture, so
are you
I
sure
don't think
not a clip?
Yeah, that's yeah, because a clip would have like, I mean, it could be a tie like pin.
Oh, a tie pin. That's I was gonna say. I remember hearing about. I think it's a tie pin.
Yeah, and we said tie
if it's
clip.
Part of the tie, it wouldn't be
all right, if you want to subtract points from yourself, feel free.
Well, I just feel like if we're trying to be fair here.
Because that's what we're all about in this
trivia. Yeah.
Well, if you want to be like Daniel and Laura and send me some trivia to help stump Tag and Teresa, you can send me an email at producer@dlweekly.net. I love when I get listener questions because then I believe they're more true than what I ask them.
They're more
Accurate.
Yes.
So I'm surprised you didn't say TNT. We actually got a piece of survey feedback this week, and one of the things that somebody liked about us was TNT.
Because we're dynamite.
It's become a thing. I'm leaving that in. Well, we'll be back next week with more Disneyland news and information.
So until then, go out and enjoy the parks.
Ladies and gentlemen, Disneyland has now ended its normal operating day. We hope you've enjoyed your visit to the Magic Kingdom and that you'll be back with us again soon.
Cheers to a great day and this ice-cold Corona.
You know what would make this day even better? My grandma's carne asada.
Throw in some music.
We can watch the game. Or we could keep it simple.
Corona, la vida más fina. Get your Corona at ordercorona.com. Relax responsibly. Corona Extra Beer, imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.